Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Happy New Year, Aviators, and welcome to the Aviators Guide, a place for pilot learning. I'm Holly Bellino, your host, and thank you so much for joining me today on the very first episode of 2025. And for my fellow Texans out there, can you believe this snow that we're getting? This is insane. But I hope you're going to find a way to enjoy it because I know I'm going to, even though cold weather isn't really my thing. Last year, in 2024, in a span of about 5 months since the Aviators Guide inception, I had the privilege to go over lots of good topics with you guys, from how to get your certificates and ratings and building your flight hours, to having some really cool guests on the show, like aviation medical examiner Dr. Mark Hammonds and designated pilot examiner Mr. Adam Levine. Not to mention publishing the exciting premier private pilot ground lesson, and there's more of those to come, aviators. Today, I will be continuing my first mini-series that I started, Ways to Build Flight Hours. There's not much left of this mini-series, so enjoy it while it lasts. I have already covered quite a few options for you guys in this realm, including flight instructing, aerial surveying, pipeline flying, volunteering, dropping skydivers, contract flying, renting, buying, or even building your own plane for those of you who trust yourselves enough. Be sure to check out the previous episodes for the details on those if you missed them. The first ways I'm going to talk about today are better for you pilots out there who have a bit more experience under your belts than a private pilot certificate. And those ways are banner towing and ferry flying. One very big reason why you should have at least your commercial certificate before you do these jobs is so you can get paid. I fully believe that all pilots should get paid and paid well for what we do, and you can't legally get paid if all you have is a private pilot certificate. The second reason you may want to have a little bit more experience before trying these two options is because they are inherently more risky than some other ways to build your hours. Yes, we all know that being a pilot is risky. It's our life, it's our job, it's what we do. But another part of our life is making sure that we do our absolute best to mitigate risk as much as possible, right? Well, let's start with banner towing. Banner towing is actually super cool and not something a lot of pilots get to do. And while I am so sure that all of my pilot subscribers and followers are amazing and capable and can do whatever it is that you want to do, you can't really just start doing this with a private pilot with 40 some odd hours, and there is additional training required. Really, the only requirements set forth by the FAA in order for you to do banner towing are, one, if you're doing it for compensation or hire, which hopefully you are, you have to have a limited commercial certificate at least, and that's really a commercial certificate without the instrument rating, and you have to have a second class medical. And the second requirement is if you are not doing it for compensation or hire, you have to have your PPL and at least 200 hours of PIC time. Now that means that you have to build almost 200 hours of flight time after getting your private pilot certificate, because you can only log PIC time as a student pilot while you're soloing or doing your check ride. Well, Holly, building 200 hours of PIC time isn't training. You said there'd be more training involved. Indeed, there is. Now, in which kind of aircraft do most people generally get their private pilot certificates? Airplane single engine land with tricycle landing gear. Go ahead and take a guess what kind of aircraft banner towing is done in. Airplane single engine land with conventional landing gear, aka tail wheel, aka tail draggers. And what do you need to fly a tail dragger? Well, if you didn't get your private pilot certificate in a tail dragger, then you're going to need to get an endorsement for that. And to get an endorsement, you have to do flight training. And then depending on where you go to do the banner towing, you may have to do additional training before you start the job. And that's probably not just for safety purposes, but also for insurance purposes, because insurance really does rule the world of aviation. And insurance is probably used quite a bit in banner towing because, as I mentioned earlier, this is a riskier way for you to build your hours. Besides the fact that you're flying light aircraft at low altitudes and slow airspeeds while towing a banner behind you, some of these companies may not have a good amount of oversight. This has given some banner companies a bad rep in that the aircraft may or may not be well maintained. And you should always check that the aircraft you're flying are well maintained. That's part of minimizing the risk. Picking up the banners is not a walk in the park either, especially if you're newish to flying. It requires a lot of precision and skill. But if you want to tow banners, I would get on that, because as of August of 2023, the FAA has authorized the use of drones for this gig instead, which is probably the only time I actually agree with full automation taking over for pilots. It's just such an unnecessarily risky job. Now, let's get into ferry flying, which also sounds fun. However, it does have a couple of drawbacks. One is that most people will probably want a pilot with at least a few hundred hours of experience under their belts before letting them fly a plane cross-country. And two, ferry flying has those inherent risks, just like banner towing does. Yes, you'll probably get to fly to some unusual and different locations and meet lots of fun people along the way. And yes, you will probably get the opportunity to fly various airplanes, which is exciting. And I know you guys will make sure that you are current in those airplanes, but do you feel like you will be proficient in those airplanes? Airplanes you don't necessarily see or fly a lot? Airplanes that are being sold for reasons that you may not know? Airplanes that could have had potentially unreliable maintenance performed, if any maintenance at all? Because think about it. What are some reasons why people want to get rid of their aircraft? A big one is because they realize they're not using it enough. And if it's not being used enough, do you think it's being well maintained? It may not be. It's possible. You won't necessarily know what state that aircraft is in until you pre-flight it, so you need to be prepared for anything. And to mitigate the risk even more when you do have to fly these aircraft, maybe just do it in VFR conditions so that if something does go wrong, it's maybe a little bit less worrisome. Of course, this is all worst case conjecture about ferry flying, but if you are considering doing this as a way to build your hours, it's stuff that you nonetheless need to think about. Another way to build your hours that you may enjoy is being a tour pilot. While this may seem like an interesting way to build your hours, and I'm sure it is, this isn't an opportunity for a lot of pilots out there that are fixed wing because most tour companies use helicopters for their tours. However, there are fixed wing tours available out there somewhere. So if you do want to do this, take a look. Another reason why not a lot of pilots will have this opportunity is because you have to live somewhere people are going to want to tour, like Hawaii or the Grand Canyon. So if you live somewhere that has gorgeous views, this may be an option for you. The last way I'm going to talk about today for you guys to build your flight hours is looking into charter companies. This is probably one of the more sought after ways to build your flight hours, but unless you're a unicorn, you will need a good amount of hours before you can get into a gig like this. I'm talking about around 800 hours, potentially less, but probably more. It really just depends on what you find and who you meet. A big perk of this kind of job is that usually, not always, but usually you will get a type rating depending on the company. And if you want to go to the airlines, this is a fantastic way for you to start building and developing your crew resource management skills and your multi-engine time and your cross-country time, because most aircraft used in these charter companies are multi-engine aircraft. Now, there are a bunch of charters out there, so don't think I'm just talking about any of them. NetJets, Nicholas Air, Flexjet, Jetlinx, those are all the big dogs. And in this current job market, you don't have a chance in hell in getting into any of them unless you are already ATP ready, meaning you have already done all the requirements listed in 61.159, and some of them already want you to have your ATP written complete. And just so y'all know, you can't actually just go to Shepherd Air and buy the study materials to take the ATP written on your own time. You have to actually take that ATP-CTP course to be endorsed to take that written exam. And that's going to set you back at least a few thousand dollars. Some of those big dog charter companies want even more than the minimum that I just said. I don't know about y'all, but I finished my flight training with about 26 hours of multi-engine time, which is plenty if you want to go to the airlines, because in your airline training, you will get up to that required 50 hours of multi-engine time. But some of these charter companies want you to have 250 hours of multi-engine time. So if some of you are considering getting your MEI or multi-engine instructor certificate, this may help you make that decision. So if you can't break into those big charter companies, where are you supposed to go? Well, JSX was just recently hiring at 800 hours of total time. International Jet was hiring at 1,000 hours of total time. And I had a friend who actually got a job at a charter company called RVR, and she just had slightly over 600 hours. So yes, you can actually find a charter company that will hire you with lower time. There's not a lot out there, but they're there. And the job market will continue to fluctuate. So even though right now some of the requirements may be kind of high, they may not necessarily always be that way. If you want to keep an eye out for these charter jobs or even just some pilot jobs in general, check out pilotcareercenter.com. Well, there you go. Four more ways that you can build your flight hours in addition to the nine ways I covered last year. So pick one, put 100% into it, and start building. And if you haven't already, be sure to like, subscribe, rate, review, and follow my show and share it with your friends. Keep studying, keep flying, and keep at it because you can do this. And I'll see you later, aviators.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.